Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. This case is before, Assistant Federal Defender Judith Kenneke appearing today for Mr. Michael Lowe. This case is before the court on the issue of whether or not the district court abused its discretion in denying a motion for early termination of supervised release. Mr. Lowell presented evidence to the court that he had been in complete compliance with all conditions of his supervised release and that he had not only complied, but had complied against
Your only complaint was that the judge didn't say why he did what he did.
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct.
That's the only beef you've got.
The complaint is that he did not properly consider the 3553A factors.
He didn't say anything. And the statute says he should enunciate his reason.
Yes, Your Honor, that's absolutely correct.
That's your position.
That is our position.
Is there anything else?
That, and along with the fact that the court appears to be applying an arbitrary policy based upon the amount of time a defendant has served on
supervised release. Is there any limitation on filing these motions for termination or early termination?
Any limitation, Your Honor?
Yeah, I mean, if he's turned down on December 1st, can he apply on December 2nd?
I believe he is limited by the conditions set out in the court's order. The court told him not to apply again until after he was down to 12 months.
But I'm not talking about this case. I'm saying in general, if a judge turns down a request for early termination, can he file another motion the next day?
I would assume he could, Your Honor.
Well, if the judge has to articulate compliance with 3553A, isn't that going to become very burdensome?
I don't believe it will, Your Honor.
Why?
I believe that it simply is a matter of whether or not the court informs the defendant that he has followed the proper procedures. It really would be as simple as a sentence or two.
It's a statutory obligation. There's nothing to do with any local rule. It's a statute.
It is a statutory obligation, Your Honor.
You have to say why you did what you did.
Yes, sir.
You say you were here last week, and I don't want to hear any more.
Yes, Your Honor. That is it.
You have to say something.
And unfortunately, the absence of that in this record has led us to this court today.
How much is enough here? What if the probation officer says, we oppose this request, Judge, and doesn't really tell the judge why? And the judge kind of relies on what the probation officer believes about the individual.
I believe in the event that probation or the government opposes early termination, we can request hearing. In this case,
nobody opposed it.
But the judge,
judge denied it without stating a reason, and nobody else seemed opposed to it at all.
Exactly, Your Honor.
Right.
Exactly.
One comment I would make about your empirical research that you've got there. I recognize that you attached a study showing that early terminators are no more likely to recidivate, maybe in fact less so. And I know there was an effort to control by matching people who were in prison for similar crimes and similar lengths of time and the like. But isn't it possible that the judge has a sense of who's likely to recidivate and makes a call based on that sense?
I believe that's absolutely correct. However, I believe that then he is obligated under 3553A to state that as his reason for denying. If, for instance, if he had determined that because this defendant was unemployed and physically disabled, that perhaps continued drug treatment would be a more likely, a more beneficial program for him to be in. However, in the absence of any of that, we simply have no idea whether or not the court properly considered the factors or whether the court is imposing some arbitrary policy based on time, which, again, would be an abuse of discretion.
Is that it?
That's all I have, Your Honor.
Hey, great. Thank you, Ms. Kenneke. Mr. Leggins?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom Leggins, and I represent the United States in this appeal. The Judge Bauer, I think, succinctly described what the issue is, or what the issue the defendant's raising, and is that is, did the court err in failing to explicitly examine all the 3553 factors in denying the defendant's motion for early?
What do judges typically say when they're when they turn down a request for early termination? Like a sentencing?
No. This is the defendants bringing these motions on their own is a relatively new phenomenon in our district. up until about 6 or 8 months ago, it was typically the province of probation. They would call.
Oh, probation service.
Probation would support the motion. Sometimes people do bring them on their own, and then you'll sometimes hear probation say, "I see no reason not to grant it." Or sometimes they'll say, "Judge, you know, he's tested positive, or he still doesn't have a job, or he hasn't paid any of his restitution, and we think he needs more supervision." And that might be all. It might be that I would simply at that point say, I think I have to deny it. I'm not sure I would say a whole lot more.
And that was the procedure that was...
Probation service give an opinion in this case?
Yes. After the defendant filed, well, typically the way it goes... The
probation service said they wouldn't bother anybody if he got it.
That's right.
They were all on board with the release, or with this termination, correct?
Yes. They had no objection to it, at least.
Sure wasn't relying on what they said.
Right. The way it typically... It used to work is the way Judge Pallmeyer described. The probation office would typically initiate this within the last.
Save money is the idea. Workload.
Sure.
No, I think that's part of it, but I also think they make a legitimate. They don't want to waste their time either,
right.
And so once they determine that somebody is a good subject for early termination, it's in their interest too to. To move for the early termination within the last 6 or 8 months.
How often are these motions granted?
I'd say 65-70% of the time, probably. Especially when there's no objection from the government and the probation office. In the last 6 or 8 months, we've seen many more of these motions, and I'm not criticizing the public defender, but they have taken it upon themselves to start filing these motions on behalf of defendants, so we're seeing more and more and more of them in our district.
Someone doesn't have enough work.
I don't believe that either, Judge. I will say the public defender's office in Benton is a fine office, and they work very hard. One of the things that I would agree with what you said, Judge Posner, is that given that these can become extremely burdensome, especially if you have to undertake the kind of explicit, detailed analysis that the defendant is arguing for in this case. Typically, and getting back to your question, I've kind of strayed it far afield here. You ask what does the court typically do in these cases? And the court in this case followed the same procedure he would follow as if probation was the one bringing it. And he issued basically an order that says after having reviewed the motion, the court denies it.
Was there a hearing at which the defendant was actually present?
There was no hearing.
There was no hearing.
No, it was. But one of the things, I mean, I think if you take the court's statement at face value, having reviewed the defendant's motion, by necessity, then the judge would have had to have considered the 3553 factors, because that's all.
It's a little odd, though. If the probation office and the government have no objection to the early termination, you would think the judge would want to give a reason why he disagreed.
Again, as I said, the order the judge entered was the one that was entered when the regime was. This was an aspect of probation. Perhaps now that he knows that they're going to be...
He has to speak up.
Yes.
Yeah. Just give a sentence, right? Very serious crime or what have you, or my experience with other people.
I hate you, you're ugly.
Well, you know, in doing the research on this case, I was only able to find three cases that even discuss this issue of how much does a judge have to say. Two of those cases are cited in the defendant's brief, and they're both Second Circuit cases. And in those cases, what the Second Circuit ultimately says, the court just has to say, add to sentence, I have considered the 3553 factors, and I deny the motion.
He didn't say anything in his case.
He said he's got this one-year policy.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in the record to support that, but what the judge did say in this case, he said he had reviewed the motion. And
what I find troublesome is that the probation service, they've actually been in contact with this guy, right? So they have firsthand experience, and also this is their business. And so you'd think that one would be curious why the judge would think that the probation service was being too lax with regard to this person.
Well, I think that goes back
because, to... And if he said something, it would be informative to the probation service, would help them in future cases. If the judge said, you know, my experience with drug criminals is, you know, they recidivate and you really have to keep them under wraps for a long time, probation service might reconsider its policy.
I suspect that the recidivate is the underlying problem in this case. This defendant had a prior meth conviction, and I suspect that is the judge's reason. Getting back to Judge Bowers.
Right. I don't think the concern is the correctness of what he did, but why he didn't give a reason. Right?
Why he didn't follow the statute.
I think because he treated this as if it was under when probation was bringing them.
Yeah.
And
but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It was a specific statutory requirement that he say something.
It was an adversarial setting, and I believe he just entered the order he always enters. But getting back to Judge Bauer's question, was there any indication that he considered the 3553 factors? What I would say about that is that he stated, or the judge stated, that he had reviewed the motion. And the motion tracks the defendant's brief in this case. And obviously, if you accept that he read the motion, then he necessarily had to consider the 3553 factors.
You've done well for him.
Excuse me?
I say you've done well for him.
Well, thank you. I'll stop then and listen for any further questions.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Legan. So, Ms. Kunick, do you have anything further?
Yeah, just briefly, if I may.
You can talk me out of something here.
Huh? Excuse me?
You're going to talk yourself out of something.
Yeah. I just want to clarify how the Defender's Office becomes involved in these cases. The government is correct. Up until about 6 to 8 months ago, we seldom did any of these at all. We began receiving referrals from probation. They would send the clients over to our office to apply for appointment of counsel. Mm-hmm. Probation will not file a motion with Judge Gilbert for early termination until they are down to the last 12 months of supervision, because that is the judge's policy, and that is what he informs clients of at orientation. That is why in our brief we have argued that this is an arbitrary policy in lack of any
Has evidence. He ever explained the policy, or is it just tacit?
No, he has not, Your Honor, to my knowledge.
Okay, well, thank you very
much. Interrogation from counsel.
Thank
you very much, and we thank the defenders for undertaking the representation of the plaintiff, but we also thank the U.S. Attorney's Office, Mr. Leggins. Our last case for argument, United States versus.